On Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it's a throwback Thursday. We're going back to 2003. Steve Bartman at Wrigley Field getting in the way of the Moises Alou foul ball catch. And just an infamous moment in that playoff history. Now,
so was this, Steve Bartman an outcast?
That's right. Good point. Two things about this song. One, every time I hear it, it reminds me of the movie Flight of the Phoenix with Dennis Quaid.
Yep.
Where they remake, of course. They actually had a montage of them dancing to this song while they were building the plane in the desert.
Yeah.
That movie I've seen 5 or 6 times because I don't know why I like it, but Giovanni Ribisi is so cool in that movie as the engineer guy.
It's a guilty pleasure movie.
It's a guilty pleasure movie. When he shoots that guy and goes, well, now we don't have to worry about that. Because they were worried he was going to drink all their water. Oh, my goodness. I like the movie. I know it got panned because it's a remake and the original was good, but nevertheless. The second thing about this is that the line in the song, Shake It Like a Polaroid Picture, Polaroid actually had to come out and say, no, you don't have to shake our pictures. They will develop naturally. You don't shake them.
And Polaroid, where are you today?
Yeah, where are you today? Exactly.
Should have shaken it like a Polaroid picture.
Does anybody shake it like a Polaroid picture? This is like that song Payphone. Does anyone use a payphone anymore, Adam Levine? Right? No. In fact, find one. Is there any payphones available? Can you find a payphone in America? Are they all gone?
I think they all are gone.
I think if you own them, you pay a price for them to be up, and I don't think you make money off of them.
I knew of one. That was when I lived in Kauai. At the end of one of the roads there where there's a trailhead, and everyone goes hiking and usually go hiking for like 2-3 days on this trail.
Right.
There was a payphone at the end, and we would tell people, hey, give us a call when you're ready to be picked up, and we'll come get you. Because there's no cell service out there.
Man, I remember before cell phones. I remember one time I was covering a press conference, and I was going to dinner with this girl, and she was in Concord, New Hampshire, and I was in Manchester, which is a good little chunk of time. But I remember I was running late, and I knew I was in trouble. I knew I was late. I was at this press conference. The press conference went too long. And I'm driving up to Concord to go to meet her for dinner. And I had two choices while I was on the highway. Do I get off the highway and call the restaurant to tell her I'm going to be late? You know, having to call information to get the hotel, the restaurant.
Yep.
And then another quarter to make the call to then tell the person that answered, hey, there's a woman there. She's probably waiting for somebody. I'm running late. Or do I just stay on the highway and drive as fast as I can to get to the restaurant? So I chose B. And when I got there, she was gone.
Yeah.
And that stunk. Because even though you're not supposed to use your phone when you're driving, you at least can Bluetooth or you can pull over to the side of the road real quick.
It's amazing. But at the same time, you know, like, I feel like our freedom is gone.
Yeah, I know.
That freedom of, I'm unreachable at this moment in time.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I remember I used payphones to the extent of letting my mom know when football practice was over. I would do a collect call to her.
Oh, yeah. I remember collect
calls. And then
calls.
It was like, you know, at the beef, say your name. And I was like, Mom, it's me. Come pick me up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the classic. Nobody ever took a collect call.
No one. Right? She denied the call, but she knew that it was time to come get me.
Hi, it's remember Tony. That? I'm done from work.
You remember that commercial? It's Bob. It's a pizza. He had a boy.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Because no one did. I'm just surprised that the phone companies never caught on. Maybe they did. They're just like, there's nothing we can do.
I know. It's crazy.
But yeah,
Like the other day, my wife I asked about our daughter, and my wife went to her phone and was like, "Oh, yeah, she's still at work." And I'm like, "Huh?" And my wife said, "Yeah, I know where everybody is at all times."
Yeah.
And I went, including
yeah, we got that on our
me?
Yeah, we got that on our phone. I know.
She's like, yeah. And I go, okay, how do I turn that off?
Exactly. Because you know what? It's not for anything scandalous. It's just that I don't want you to know that I just went through a drive-thru on my way home.
No, exactly. And she knew that, too. She knew that one time. I was on a diet. I was on a diet about a year ago, and I stink on diet. Look, if you want me to lose some weight, you got to come up with a no diet, no exercise plan. If you could come up with one, I'm in. Because I was on this diet and it was really restrictive. I couldn't have sugar, carbs, or anything like that. And I was losing some weight. It was fine. But oh my God, there was one Saturday I couldn't help myself. I snuck off to Dairy Queen. I had to get a Blizzard. And I didn't get a big Blizzard. I just got a small one.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter because so-and-so found me at Dairy Queen by looking on her phone. Because she got home and I wasn't there. And she's like, where could he be? Oh, if there was only an app that would allow me to track my husband's phone wherever he's... Oh, I have that!
Yep.
Click Dairy Queen. And then I got home and she goes, where were you? And I went, oh, I needed to run some errands. To Dairy Queen? And then I thought she was a witch. Not a witch in a bad way. Like she had a cast iron bowl and was throwing in bat wings and like elf eyes. And it was causing some smoke. And in that smoke, she could see me at Dairy Queen eating that Blizzard. I had no idea she had that capability.
Looking into the crystal ball and your face appears.
That's right.
Just digging down on this Dairy Queen Blizzard.
It's like eye of a bat. Tell me where my husband, wherever he's at.
Dead man's toes.
Yeah, that's right. Ah, there he is, stuffing his face with an M&M Blizzard. How dare he? Yeah, and I went, all right, fine.
See, that's where technology is.
You know where? I should have just gone to a strip club. It probably would have been better than going to Gary at that moment.
Yeah.
Right?
At least then she'd be like, well, now you're a real man.
Exactly. Exactly. You went to a strip club in the afternoon rather than getting delicious ice cream. I'm proud of you, honey. You avoided Dairy Queen and went to the strip club instead. Way to stay committed. I know. It's crazy. Couldn't help myself. Those Blizzards are delicious. When they take those things and dump them upside down.
And nothing comes out.
Yeah, come on, man.
Like, not even a drop. Not even like a loose piece of candy.
Man, you pull in the drive-thru and you're like, an Oreo Blizzard, please? And they hand it to you and they go, oh, before we do, let me show you how thick and delicious this is going to be. It's not going to fall out of the cup. And then they hand it to you? Oh, I want one now. And it's 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, they're not open yet.
And they're not open yet.
Yeah, I might have to get one on my way home, but then I'm going to feel the wrath when I get home.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. So,
because, you know, the wrath will be, and now, I mean, even if you're not on a diet, you know, the wrath will be, can you bring me one?
I know, that's true.
Were you just thinking of yourself?
I get that all the time.
And I'm like, by the time I'd get to you, it would be melted, and you wouldn't have enjoyed it.
Thinking my greedy, greedy, selfish self.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I saved a little bit here.
We've been monitoring this morning Ron's temperature or anxiety of tonight's game 5. Where is it now in this hour?
Well, you know, just talking about
11 on a scale of 1 to 10 in hour 2.
Talking about payphones and
Polaroid
technology
pictures.
And stuff like that. How it's ruining our life. I was feeling a little bit. I was distracted there for a little bit.
Yeah.
Then you brought it back up. So thanks.
Hey, real quick, that's funny that you brought technology. Do advanced metrics in baseball, does it make it more enjoyable or more confusing?
What do you mean?
Okay, like when you watch
when
you watch a baseball game and they've got the 9-square grid and each grid has a batting average.
Yeah.
To where the ball is pitched and
You know what? Every time I see that,
do you like that? Or do you go just tell me he likes high fastballs?
I will be honest with you. Every time I see that little grid, and I'm furious at the pitcher, dude. Pitch it into the light is blue.
Do they not know
he has
where
a 180 average there? If you hit it, if you pitch it there every single time, you'll get him out.
The catcher has to know all of this.
I know, it's amazing.
The catcher
now
has to know everything about this. And you know what? He doesn't have an excuse. It's all there for him. The statistic guys, the prep guys give him all of this information. He has no excuse.
I have a question.
Do you think Yogi Berra was like...
No, that's what I was going
to... You know what I mean?
Two things real quick, right? You know, where's the world gone to like with Crash Davis? where he could could tell where the batter was doing by where his feet were positioned.
Yeah, like I'm sure that's what Yogi was doing back in the 50s, right? Like that kind of scouting.
But I'm going to bring it to you in this way, right? With you know, modern technology, how close are we to having football helmet speakers, you know, whatever it's called, and catcher masks?
Oh, good point.
Like, why haven't they done that yet?
Yeah, why haven't they done that yet? Where there's somebody in the booth telling them. Yeah.
Somebody in the booth or, you know, the pitching coach just looking there and saying, hey, why don't we throw this one?
Yeah,
why don't
we
do this one? Or do they I guess they just trust the catcher to make the decision?
That's a good question. Yeah, because if you're, like, I can only imagine
that, you know what?
Major League Baseball.
That could save on mound visits.
That's true. Good point.
Because the manager, he never runs out to the mound. Or a pitching coach, he doesn't run out to the mound. He saunters out there, calls time. Takes his time, looks into the stands. It's like, man, I miss seeing the view from here.
Can you imagine being a catcher in modern-day baseball where you give up, like, you call a high, you know, you call, like, an inside low inside pitch, and that kid rakes it for a three-run home run, and then some reporter comes to your locker and goes, why did you call an inside pitch when he's batting 417 with 20 home runs with that? And you're like, oh, God, just kill me.
Yeah.
Really, I got to answer to you on this? I got to answer this to you?
I saw that chart. I read it backwards.
Yeah, I know, right?
Or what about like a little visor with a little heads-up display?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm coming up with baseball. Baseball, contact me.
You're on fire right now in the last 5 minutes of this conversation. Right? Don't use up all your steam.
I'm distracting myself from what the original question of this segment was.
Which is how your anxiety is before
How's my anxiety
five
level? Let me tell you about other things baseball can do to change.
That's awesome.
Maybe not have elimination games. How about that?
Let's just put it this way.
Maybe as soon as one team scores, the game's over.
Buster Posey's got your entire team locked down in the statistical category. That's awesome. That's great. Yeah, I don't know. Back to the question. I'm not sure if I like it, not like... I mean, I like statistics. I like numbers. I'm pretty good with that stuff. But I don't know if I want too much of that.
Yeah.
Sometimes... I think baseball sometimes gets a little crazy. It's like... I feel like there's a new thing all the time in baseball.
Well, it's because, you know, baseball's all about numbers. It's not
always
really,
always
it's not about
been.
Anything else. It's not really not about the game on the field, because with the game on the field happening, they'll bring up like, well, this happened in, you know, this date, and he did the same exact thing here. I mean, it's always numbers related. And I think, to your point, when you're bringing like the advanced statistics into it, the advanced over analysis, I guess, of the game, it's all numbers based as well.
I'm not afraid to admit I don't really understand war. Like I don't really understand wins over replacement. Like I don't know how you could. I don't. And don't tweet me. I don't want to know. I can look it up as much as I can read it on Twitter.
Yeah. But I think that's it. We don't care.
Yeah, I don't really care. And then when they go, and now it's war divided by slugging percentage times innings played. Like come on, you can create anything if you want. You can take all of these numbers and you can create all sorts of algorithms to make your own numbers.
I mean, is it there just to judge whether or not this player is good or not?
Yeah.
I mean, we can do the eyeball test to see if a player is good or not.
Exactly.
Like, I know Mike Trout is a good baseball player, and I know that he will probably make it to the Hall of Fame. Why? Because every time he comes up to bat, he's producing. If he's out in the outfield, he's producing. He is, you know, arguably one of the great players that nobody gets to see ever.
Yeah.
And I know this because, you know, we watch it. I don't need to know that he has the highest WAR ever.
That's a great point. Like my grandfather, he was like huge baseball fan, huge, right? And I used to love talking baseball because I collected baseball cards, so I would talk, you know, ask him about the Met players and whatnot. He watched the Mets every night, which meant he watched a lot of National League baseball. He didn't need WAR. He didn't need any of those numbers. He knew who was good, who was not. He knew, like, he didn't need all that advanced stuff. And that's not to say that there's no place for it, but I think baseball has gotten so crazy with it that it does bog the game down in its analysis, right? I like to read articles on baseball like previews, right? I will go into, you know, the Ringer's got some good stuff, the Athletic's got some good stuff. But, man, when you start throwing in this advanced statistical stuff, you lose me. I just want to know, should this guy pitch because right now his fastball is unhittable? I don't need the deep, detailed analytics.
I don't need to.
I don't know.
You don't need to know that, man. He just needs to keep aiming for that upper left corner because that's right. Where the guy is weakest.
Exactly.
Or then you see somebody else is like, you know, like a Mookie Betts situation comes up. It's like, well, there isn't a square, you know, you can pitch to. You should just walk them.
Yeah. And I know we're going a little long here, but I remember talking. I had a conversation with Goose Gossage about this. And we talked when I was in Colorado Springs and we talked about the latest analytics. And he remember him telling me, you know, my job was to get everybody out. Like that was my job. Like I didn't know lefty, lefty, righty, righty. He goes, yeah, I knew a little bit, but my job was to get everybody. I that was my job was not to pitch to one batter.
Right.
Like my job was to close out the game. Like, and it didn't matter who they sent up there, and they could change their lineup. They could put a bunch of pinch hitters up there. I was supposed to deal with everybody. It doesn't matter where they batted on what side of the plate. And I'm like, oh yeah, they'd replace you now. Right. You get up there. Oh, sorry. We got a guy that. You know, we got a guy in the pen that this guy is batting 215 against, right? Gossage was like, my job was to pitch to everybody.
Yep. So, didn't matter who.
Didn't matter who.
Whoever they put in front of me, I got to get him out.
On Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue with Wake Up Call.